Welcome to That Entrepreneur Life, a podcast about entrepreneurship that takes you from idea to launch and beyond. Each week, your hosts, Andrew Lees and Clint McPherson, discuss different business topics aimed at adding value to any entrepreneur's journey.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of That Entrepreneur Life. I'm Andrew Lees, and I'm joined, as always, with my co-host, Clint McPherson. What's up, man?
Not much, brother. I'm just glad to be back to record with you after last episode, right? I missed out on the last episode with Jared Cruz. But hey, let's go ahead and kick this thing off by welcoming our special guest today, JJ Ramberg, to the show.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here with you guys.
Hey, JJ. Yeah, it's awesome to have you on the show. We're very happy about that. Before we get into everything, could you just tell us who you are and what you're all about?
Yeah, absolutely. I am the co-founder of a new app called Good Pods, a podcast app, which we'll talk about in a second. But this is my second company. I started another company called Shop, and I was also, I guess I still am, kind of a journalist. So I hosted a show on entrepreneurship for 13 years. So I was on your side of things for a long time.
That's very cool. Yeah, yeah. We checked it out, and it looks really awesome. I'm definitely excited to check out some more of your podcast episodes and also your show.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, thank you. It's funny. I'm using my NBC News mug right now. This is an old thing.
That's awesome.
My show days.
The 30 Rock mug.
Exactly. That's awesome. So JJ, with all that said, and as the current founder of Good Pods that we just mentioned, right, you're an author and the former host of your business for MSNBC, which you're drinking out of the coffee mug right now. Can you take us back to when your entrepreneurial journey actually started and what it is about entrepreneurship that keeps that fire burning inside you?
Sure. You know, I'm the daughter and granddaughter of entrepreneurs. And my dad, well, my grandfather on my dad's side came to this country and was a door-to-door peddler and then started a furniture company, which my dad then worked at and ran and then started his own company, a couple of them. My grandfather on my mom's side was like, he was like entrepreneur out of the encyclopedia, like made a ton of money, lost money, made money, lost money, you know, like, and I think he had a fish store, he sold cars, he, you know, he did everything. And my mom caught that. So my mom, who was a stay-at-home mom until I was in ending junior high, and I'm the youngest of four, started a company with my brother. And so I had a front row seat in watching her build this company, which eventually became Monster.com's biggest acquisition. And so I didn't think twice. I always sort of thought when I have a good idea, I want to start something. It just took until I had a good idea before I actually did it. And that first idea was Good Shop and now Good Pods, both of which I co-founded with my brother, Ken, who was my mom's partner too.
That's very cool. Yeah. So, I mean, you've got some experience also with starting a business within your family, you know, with a family member, which is very cool. I think it takes a unique, unique family members to do that. It's probably not always that easy because you're so close with them, right? But at the same time, it definitely speaks to your relationship with your parents and your siblings that you can actually do that and build a solid business that keeps going.
Well, Good Pods, my brother Ken and I co-founded it. My sister, Melanie, came into it as well now, and also my nephew. So lots of people who are not Rambergs.
So yeah.
right.
you have to have an interesting family dynamic for that, right? I mean, that's crazy.
It works out really well. It works out great.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's very cool. So with your latest venture, Good Pods. Good Pods is an app. Just I want to let everybody know what that is. Good Pods is an app that allows you to see what podcasts your friends are listening to and get recommendations from them about what podcasts they should listen to. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? And what was it that led you and your brother to start that business?
Yeah, absolutely. So you got it exactly right. It's social media around podcasts. So you follow your friends, you follow influencers, and you see what they're listening to by show or by episode. And then you can listen right then on the app, or you can bookmark it for later. You can share with other people. But we started it, I mean, really because Ken and I are big podcast listeners. And we thought that it was really hard to find new podcasts. Right at a dinner party and someone say, did you hear blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, oh, I have to write it down. And then by the time I'm about to go for a run, I totally forget what they told me to listen to. Or I'd remember the show, but not the episode. And I just, you know, we both thought there's got to be a more efficient way. And as a matter of fact, we know because social media exists, right? We're not making this up from scratch. So we hired a team and created Good Pods just frankly because we wanted it. And then, you guys, I'm talking to you on a very exciting day because yesterday, I don't know if you saw this, but Kim Kardashian. So Kim Kardashian loves podcasts, which is amazing. And so she posted about Good Pods. And so that was a little bit of a bananas day for us, as you imagine, really, really excited. And she's interesting, right? She does listens to a lot of criminal justice podcasts. And so a lot of her followers then listen to the podcast, and it was really amazing to see what happened and her influence.
That's really interesting. Yeah. So I saw that on your website. I didn't realize it was that recent. I didn't look at the date, I guess, but yeah, it sounds like it just happened, which is very cool. And what kind of, besides her, you've got a pretty solid list of, you know, notable big name, users of the app. And, you know, what does that do to your, you know, to the people, to your user group? Like, how does that help having somebody like Kim Kardashian mention it? What did that do? What was yesterday? And what has yesterday and today been like in terms of you know, new users? And yeah.
I mean, you can imagine. So we were very conscious when we launched this that we wanted to get some well-known people on the app because that's how you get recommendations, right? You get recommendations from friends and then people you respect. So on Good Pods, you can follow Gwyneth Paltrow, you can follow you can follow Malcolm Gladwell, you can follow Touré, like all these really interesting people that we got on. Dan Harris, who has this amazing, he's ABC News, but he also has this amazing meditation and 10% Happier podcast. So we got all these people on so that when you came on the first time and your friends weren't on yet, you'd have interesting people to follow. And also, even if your friends were on, you'd want to know what Dan Harris is into if you like Dan Harris. And so we got all of them on board. And then, you know, of course, yesterday, Kim Kardashian has so much influence, right? She has millions and millions, hundreds of millions of followers, right? And so we just sat there and watched people sign up, right? And watched people sign up and follow her. And it was amazing. I mean, it's really, and again, she does so much interesting stuff around criminal justice, and that's what a lot of her podcasts are about, that it's really, you know, fun to watch people follow her and then listen to what she suggested.
Yeah, no, that seems pretty awesome. How many iterations did you go through for Good Pods and to get it to where it is today? I mean, I know it's not when you launch something, it's not always perfect. And if it is, you waited too long, right? And so how many iterations did y'all actually go through before you got it to where somebody like Kim Kardashian or you felt comfortable with somebody pushing it?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I don't think you'll ever, if you are truly a product person, you will never be comfortable with somebody pushing it because I look at the app and I think, you know, we have a roadmap as long as, you know, my street of all the features. And so in my dream world, everything is launched before anyone starts using it. But obviously then no one would see it for 5 years from now. And so it did take some discussion to say, at what point do we launch it, right? So someone promoting it, they do it when they want. Like if they like it, they'll get the word out if they found it. So I don't necessarily have control over that. That's just their own desire to get the word out. But for us to first launch it, it was a discussion of, we know there are, you know, X, Y, and Z things that aren't in the app yet, but should we just put it out there? And yes, to your point, you just have to pull the trigger and say, let's do this, so that I get feedback from users and understand if my roadmap is actually correct.
Yeah, that's so critical, because you really need that feedback to let you know if you're on the right path. I mean, you may discover something from your audience that for your initial users that you hadn't even thought about, but really, you know, kind of makes you realize that this is actually the feature that people need, you know. And so you can add it in there, and you get all this feedback, and that's so critical, because without getting that, I mean, obviously you can do, before you even launch anything, you can do some customer interviews and make sure that you're asking the right questions, and, you know, if you're going about that the right way, and don't fall into the mom trap of, you know, asking, just seeking validation for it. You know, you can get some feedback that way, but the best thing is just to get it out there and get users using it and figure out what they like and what they don't like. So that's so critical.
It is. And it's funny because, right, I sat in you for 13 years, where I interviewed so many founders and so many entrepreneurs, and you hear a lot of the same advice from entrepreneurs, right? You have to get it at the same thing that we're talking about right now. You have to get it out there, get people to use it, and user feedback, and listen to your customer. And I can give you, like, you know, 18 things that everyone says, but when you are actually doing it, it is quite different than saying that you should do it. Right. Like the one I always used to say is, you know, when people were like, you know, hire slowly, fire quickly, which is absolutely true and makes all kinds of sense. But you're like, OK, but what if the person who doesn't fit in is bringing in 75% of my revenue? Right. Am I supposed to fire them quickly? Right. So it's the same thing. Launch it and listen to your customers. You still have to make that hard decision of when, like, you know, at exactly. What point do you just pull the trigger?
Yeah.
You mentioned having a roadmap. Do you have that where it's visual or something that the actual, you know, the user can actually see on your website? I know there's a lot of apps out there that actually do that. And so it helps with the bombardment of feedback, right? Because you're like, we're already working on that, or you don't have to sit there and you don't have to filter through so many things. And if it's something new, you're like, hey, check out the roadmap. And if your recommendation is something that, you know, we either have on, you know, mapped out, some of them do it by date, some of them say, hey, you know, spring of this time or whatever. But I think it helps with the feedback to not be like, okay, we got 4,000 of these and it's the same thing over and over. So this, they actually want this, but it's already there. And so you don't have to actually go to them and verbally say it.
That is an interesting idea that I've seen some other companies do too. We don't have that yet. Currently our roadmap is, you know, a big sheet that we all, a program that we all work on. And also we are still relatively new. So though we know the features that we're building and all ones that we've built since launch have been based on user feedback, there's still some wiggle room as we get more people on to see the order at which we're going to launch it. I mean, we have, you know, the next few weeks planned, but after that, it'll be based on user feedback again.
That's great. And do you have a technical background at all, or does your brother Ken? So how did you, how are you now? Yeah, me too.
Everyone should go learn to program, right?
I totally agree. I'm a mechanical engineer. That's my background. And I have a consulting company to help people develop their physical products, which is great. But I mean, apps are, they're so powerful because you can, they don't have as much of a physical cost. There's server space, which is like an actual real physical thing, you know, that's out there that's holding the data that you actually have to pay for. But besides that, besides marketing costs, you know, there's not nearly the same kind of cost associated with an app. So yeah, I've thought recently, man, I wish I had learned to code at some point. But how are you dealing with that, you know, with working with your team to develop the app, and how's that not having a technical background, how has that been?
Right. So this is my second company based in technology. And the way you do it is the way you do anything, which is you surround yourself by good people who you can communicate really well with, really well. Right. And you need to make sure that you are all on the same page all the time. Big picture, like, do you all have the same values around the company? Do you all have a goal, same North Star for the company? And then in small ways, every single day, when I have a vision for what a feature should look like, is that translated through the product manager and then through the tech team? And it's just talking, and then you get to know each other, and then you have a shorthand with each other, and you have a process that you work through.
Yeah. I mean,
I wish I could code.
Don't we all? I think it's one of those things, though, when you come at it, you have to take a strategic standpoint, because I think me building, I own a digital marketing agency, so I have websites, and there's limitations you run into with certain content management systems. And I'm sure there's certain limitations you would run into with app development, right? And then there's a lot of things where you might say, okay, do this, and it sounds easy, but it's not always as straightforward as you actually being able to verbalize it. And so that's when it comes with somebody that has the actual knowledge to say, okay, we can get this accomplished, but not with what we currently have.
You know, I also feel like it goes the other way sometimes too, where I think something is going to be incredibly complicated and I take it to my team and they're like, have it for you tomorrow, right? And I think also, you know, after years of doing this, I have a sense, right? Much more than when I started, I have a sense of what things take. So while I can't code, I've been through enough of these, I've enough things now that I get what's going to be easy and what's going to be hard.
Yeah. And you probably understand why it's hard. Like, the thing that seems easy that actually takes a long time, you start to realize, okay, to me that seems simple, but actually technically this is why it is complicated. Yeah. Like, I run into that with my clients where they say, oh, you know, I just need this feature. It's super simple. And I'm like, cool, but it seems simple. I'd love to add that in there for you, but it's going to, you know, be super complicated for manufacturing. It's going to add another 30% to your tooling costs. It's going to do all these things, and it's going to be possible, but it's, you know, it adds all these difficulties in. And they're like, oh man, okay, all right. So then, but then they start to understand why it is that things, you know, that feature request complicates the process. So, and that's really helpful when everybody's on the same page.
Yeah. And what I was about to say about being on the same page, what's really helpful is if everyone understands not just what you want to build, but why you want to build it, right? So we as a team keep going back to, what is our app? Our app exists for users to be able to get great recommendations, good ideas for podcasts and podcast episodes in the moment. And for podcasters to be able to utilize word of mouth to get more listeners, period, right? And so that way, when our team comes up with something that we want to build, anyone on the team can say, okay, why are you building that? Oh, here's another way we can get to that same goal that will be easier and faster to build.
Exactly, yeah. And that's really helpful, because if the technical team is in the dark, they'll just keep moving, you know, they'll do what you ask, but there may be so much more value they can provide and say, oh, if I know what you're doing, I would have suggested you do it this way. And that would have been, So I think that's super important for everybody to be on the same page. And you shouldn't keep people in the dark because it's like a need to know basis kind of thing. Like, everybody on your team should really be understand what the mission is, because then that just helps the whole process runs smoother.
And great ideas come from everywhere, right? So we run an app, it's GoodPod. Our entire team loves podcasts. So I don't care if you are the intern or if you are the CEO, you know, your idea is great because we are all users of our product, right? We are all the target audience, all podcast listeners, and some podcast hosts on the team also. And so no one should be kept in the dark, because we'd be missing out on some great ideas.
Yeah, no, I would fully agree with that, just for the simple fact that I think the sense of empowerment, even at the lowest level, is very important for somebody to even feel confident or have that confidence to chime in and say, hey, this will be great. And you're like, well, I didn't even think about that. That's perfect, right? Even if it's coming from an intern, that doesn't mean an intern, whatever, you're part of the team, right? And so the sense of empowerment.
You're part of your user.
And the user, right? So it's huge.
In our case.
Right, right.
In our case. I mean, we've had kind of a fun thing because we launched, well, this part isn't fun, but we launched during the quarantine, right? My kids have been around for this entire launch and they are also users. And so my kids often come up with really good ideas also. I mean, they're young, right? They're 10, 11, 12, no, now 10, 11, 13, but right. But they're like, oh, mom, I tried to do this. It didn't work, you know, and then bring it up in our staff meeting.
No, that is super cool.
Yeah. Kids have great ideas. You know, it's yeah, all the time. All the time.
So JJ, you're obviously pretty passionate about podcasting, right? So what is about that medium that you think is so powerful, and what do you think the future looks like for podcasting?
So I love podcasts. I have for so long. And in many ways, because of the same reason that I went into journalism. So I worked for NBC News right after school and then had sort of a career back and anyhow, back and forth between business and journalism. But one of the reasons I love being a journalist is because you have this chance to like step into someone else's world for a little while or start from scratch and learn something brand new or meet someone you would have never met otherwise. And I get that same thing from podcasts, right? So every day I'm like, oh, I want to learn something about history or science, or I want to laugh today, or I want to have a meditation app. And the time commitment is short compared to many other media out there. And you get to have this like journey through the world. And in our case, now it's also kind of curated by my friends, right? So I know who I'm following to get specific kinds of podcasts, and I know they'll be good because they liked them.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many, I mean, there's so many podcasts out there. It's amazing. I feel like in a way it's oversaturated, but really we're probably just scratching the surface of, you know, what of, you know, the kinds of podcasts that people are going to come up with and the topics that are going to be covered. I mean, you can feel like you can learn something about anything now. I mean, YouTube's obviously a great medium, but podcasting is pretty cool. And like you said, you're on this journey with somebody, you're on this journey with their show. And I mean, that's why we love it. We're just trying to, you know, help people understand entrepreneurship, what it's all about, and, you know, why it's a great option for a lot of people. Some people it might not be, but, you know, we really want to help people on their entrepreneurial journey from start to finish, wherever they are, you know? So it's kind of that's why we love it so much. And it's just such a cool way to connect with people.
I think it's so neat as the host. I had the podcast myself also when I worked, when I was a journalist, and you know, I saw the discovery process both from the listener side, where I needed help and needed help from my friends to find things, mm-hmm. and also from the podcaster side, because what was interesting is that even though I had this, you know, more than decade old television show on national TV, when I talked to a lot of people who listened to the podcast, they found out about it from word of mouth. Like some of them didn't even know I had a TV show. And so
wow.
And so that's kind of part of the reason that I wanted to help other podcasters who didn't have this whole machine behind them, right? Like I did. Mm-hmm. I had all of NBC News, but for people who are just starting out, who might have an amazing show, but just have buckets of marketing dollars, let's codify, yeah. Let's make more efficient word of mouth so that, you know, friends will tell friends what to listen to.
Exactly. Yeah. And that word of mouth is so powerful. I mean, you can obviously throw money at any business and in order to promote it, but having that word of mouth organic growth is the best thing. So if there's any opportunity to do that, I think it's really cool when opportunities come around like Good Pods that help kind of level the playing field. So it lets a smaller podcast who that doesn't have a big following, that doesn't have a marketing budget, if it's interesting and it's helpful to people, it should be out there. You know, it should get more exposure. It should at least be given a chance. So I love that Good Pods is helping with that.
Yeah, we had some right in the beginning when we noticed that this, or not noticed, but, you know, we launched this. And one of the first ways we saw that it was working is because we saw some random podcasts. I guess random is the wrong word, but small podcasts that probably no one on the app had ever heard of before, but one person listened to it. And then we watched it get passed from friend to friend to friend to friend to friend. I'm sure none of them had heard of it before. But, you know, one of them, this was like right in the middle of quarantine, early days, one of them was called You Need to Calm Down. And it was literally just white noise. The whole episode was just white noise. And that
one
went viral on the site.
That's awesome.
Time,
yeah. Yeah. Everybody needs a little white noise sometimes. So that was my next question. I wanted to ask you about, with any business, we really are excited to dig into how a business goes from zero to one. You know, that's like the hardest hurdle, I think, is starting with nothing and getting, some early adopters. So how did you get those early adopters? And then is there some built-in distribution to your app that allows it to grow organically?
Yeah, I mean, there's the whole thing is based on built-in distribution because it's a social network. So the whole idea is you would come on, Andrew, you would want to follow Clint. So you'd invite Clint to come on to Good Pod so that you can follow each other because you want to know what his podcast recommendations are. So there's, you know, the whole thing is based on the distribution. And how we got to the first people was we launched it. So we launched right after the quarantine started, which was obviously not the plan. We'd been working on it for quite a bit. And so we launched Good Pods much quieter than we had intended to. And really actually had to think a lot about whether to launch at all, given what was going on in the world. And so had some real honest conversations with each other and soul searching talks, and decided that we wanted to launch because as users, we were beta users. We felt the product was really helpful in many ways during the quarantine. And so we launched quietly to just people that we knew, right? We didn't do any press. We didn't do any big announcements. And then it just started growing by itself because, as we talked about, that built-in virality up. And we just kind of sat back in the beginning and watched it grow while getting user feedback and fine-tuning the user experience.
Yeah, it almost like seems like it gained some kind of like viral effect, right? Once you start sharing or once somebody sees and starts following, it just piggybacks from there. And you're like, oh, look, Susan's following this, or right? And I love that whole concept and approach that you took. And it's basically taking what social media is and putting it into an app. And so that's I applaud y'all for that, JJ, for sure.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's been great. It's really interesting and exciting and great. But I'll tell you, before we even launched, this is a good lesson for people, I think. When Good Pods was just an idea, before we even launched, I wish I could show you my spreadsheet. I talked to either on Zoom or on phone, 700 people. to say to them, and as we were building it, right? And these weren't focus groups. This was me having conversations with people. Granted, I really love talking to people and I love meeting new people, but saying to them as podcasters, like, what would you want out of an app? As listeners, what do you like from this? As influencers, what would make you want to be part of this? Podcast producers, I talked to everyone from like incredibly famous people to just, you know, a woman who listens to a podcast maybe, you know, once every 2 months. I wanted to hear everyone's feedback. And so that was all incorporated into the product. And so, point being, when we launched, I actually had a bunch of people to launch to as well.
Right. Yeah. So that helps your first, you know, group of people. So you can send an email out and say, hey, we're here. It's live. Check it out. Yeah. And just doing that legwork, even if you don't have tens of thousands of people and doing, you know, the people think of launches, product launches is this big, amazing, you know, thing where, you know, you're launching at South by Southwest in Austin and you're doing all these, you know, and then like millions of people are finding out about you at once. And it's just not the case for most things. And it doesn't have to be, which is cool too. It's not like, oh, if I don't launch this in the biggest way possible, it's just not going to be successful.
Well, I don't think so. Right. And then frankly, we had some time again to fine tune the product, which we are always doing before something yesterday happened, which is Kim Kardashian finds out about this and puts it out there to the world. And so, you know, there's nothing quiet about that. And so that didn't need to happen day one. I'm glad it didn't happen day one. We launched in beta so that we could get some feedback right. from people.
Yeah. Those beta users are huge. There's a lot of apps that launch and didn't do the legwork that you did right up front, talking to those individuals and having that group of individuals that you could launch to. And so that's why when somebody does that, even if you launch another app later on, that's totally has to do with something else, you can still leverage that core group, right? Or of initial people that you put the legwork in. And then you can say, hey, we got this second app coming out and I would love for you to take your time and just review it and give us some feedback, just like you did with Good Pods.
Yeah. And you develop relationships with people. I mean, my friend, Michelle Cordieri-Grant, she even launched a company called Lively. She basically launched it. It's like an intimates company, right? And she sold it recently successfully, but she launched it on Instagram and she brought all of her Instagram followers into the process of developing the product. So she asked them, it was all very public of, you know, do we like this style? Do I like this style? So by the time she launched, she had an entire group of customers built in who felt very loyal to the product because they'd been part of the whole process of building it.
That's very cool. What would your advice be to somebody who doesn't have a following at all? They don't have an email list. They don't have Instagram. They're really just kind of starting from scratch. What would your advice be to somebody like that to kind of get something going?
To get feedback on their idea. I mean, you don't need a following, right? You need a mouth, right?
Yeah.
You need to talk to one friend, one mentor, one person that you know, someone who you respect, get their advice and ask them who they think you should talk to next, right? And then you talk to that person and ask them who they think you should talk to next. And before you know it, you will have spoken to a lot of people.
Yeah. And you never know who that next person is going to be, who might just blow the whole thing wide open and really give you some, you know, either some just amazing advice that changes the course of your business or really helps you say, they're like, oh, I've got, you know, I can actually help with this. You know, I've got some great friends, family, whatever, you know, I've got this great network that I can help you promote this on or whatever, or I've got, you know, 100 more people that you can talk to. So yeah, you just never know who that next person is who you're going to talk to, who can really, really help you. You know, as long as you're committed to it, as long as you're always going to be pushing it forward. I feel like there's always then somebody out there who can say, okay, I'm going to help you get this to the next level in some way.
And I find that people are incredibly generous, with their time. Not everyone, obviously, but a lot of people are generous with their time and advice. And, when you're passionate about something, so I've experienced that as an entrepreneur, like I've just been amazed and so grateful for how many people have helped me. The podcast world is actually also just an incredibly nice industry and world of people. I mean, beyond, but also as when I was a journalist and I've also helped a lot of entrepreneurs, I'm always so excited to sit and talk to and help other people when they're passionate about what they're doing because feed off of it, right? It's exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. No, I would agree. And you touch on the podcast, you know, world. When I went to PodFest 2020 earlier this year, I had no idea how, you know, friendly and how supportive and how everybody, it doesn't matter what industry, it doesn't matter if you're in this doing the same thing, the same type of podcast with something very similar. They're all just like, hey, they're there to help you out. And that's what podcasting is about. It's almost like, you know, when you have a business, I don't view competition as a bad thing. And I don't even see competition as really competition. I just see it as somebody else I can learn from. But a lot of people get timid, right? A lot of people are like kind of standoffish too, and don't want to even say, hey, my name's so-and-so, let's learn from each other. They're more like, nah, man, you're in the same space as me. And they think that I'm taking their fish or whatever out of their pond. And I'm like, no, I just want to help you. If there was a way, right, we're all experts in our little niches or whatever, right? Even though I do a digital marketing agency, I'm better in social media than I am in this side of things, right? And so if you can unite with individuals, and like podcasting's perfect for that. And so when you just sit there and talk to them, and they've been so supportive and communicative and want to just be part of what you're doing, that's why I love podcasting. That's why we're doing the show.
I've just met the nicest people. And yeah, Bruce, you know, one after the next, everybody has been so incredibly supportive of Good Pods, even when it was just an idea, right? Even when my brother and I just came to people and thought, we're thinking about doing this. That's awesome. Been great.
So JJ, through your entrepreneurial journey to date, from the highs into the lows and everything you've experienced with Good Pods and the other companies, what has been the most difficult thing so far about being an entrepreneur? It could be several things.
I mean, you're catching me on such an incredibly great day.
Right? Yeah. So many, you're like, difficulty. Right. Like, what difficulty? Yeah.
Being an entrepreneur, Kardashian promotes your app and everything is good,
right? Yeah.
Yep.
I've just seen your company. But look, I mean, it is, you call it a journey, right? It is definitely a journey. And you know, I spent, as I said, 13 years interviewing entrepreneurs at the same time as building my own company. There's no one who says that it's easy all the time, right? No one has these days like I'm having every day. And I think what I have learned from so many entrepreneurs and really have tried to take in myself is you just have to have the temperament and the attitude to deal with hard days, to deal with the days that you launch something and you thought it was going to be a huge hit and nobody likes it. So in my old company, so my other company, Good Shop, which a CEO runs for us now, it's a coupon company that also either gives you cash back or money gets donated to your favorite charity. And so we've donated more than $13 million now. But anyhow, so in that company, at some point, we launched a whole bunch of sister products to it, one after the other. And one after the other, they all failed. And so we were excited about them. And we probably kept them alive a little too long before we killed them, until we realized that we just need to focus exactly on Good Shop, which was the coupons and shopping. And you have to be able to say, I made a mistake. And if I look back, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have wasted that time. I wouldn't have wasted my team's time, that money. But I learn from it and move on. Like, it doesn't help me to dwell on that. It helps me to learn from it, but it doesn't help me to dwell on so much or think I'm a failure, right? You just have to think, this is part of it. You're going to fail.
Yeah, I usually get pretty excited about, if I look back, and I'll look back at the last year and think, hey, what could I have done better? You know, where did I really waste a lot of time? And I actually get excited about that kind of stuff and realizing, oh man, I really screwed up a bunch of times here. I wasted so many hours on, you know, trying to do something. And I get excited about that because that's all time that going forward this year, I'm going to at least try to not make that same mistake. So it's all going to be time and resource that I can put towards the right thing, you know, focus. I just think, man, if I just, now I know Now I know where I wasted time. I'm going to focus that attention on something better. It's amazing because it totally flips it then going forward. And then if you do that every month, every year, you know, it really, as you continue to grow and learn, it really can help accelerate your business instead of just, you know, having it kind of go on at sort of a normal rate. I think it can really help accelerate it because it's turning all that bad stuff into really awesome, positive things going forward.
Absolutely. And it's not just about building things. It's also, you can think of that same thing with relationships, right? So really think about how you're communicating as a leader, how you're communicating with employees, et cetera, and learn from it and grow from it as well. That makes your business better. But sound like you have the exact right temperament to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Well, I think you just have to keep learning. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Once you stop learning and realizing, all right, I mean, there's definitely times when it's hard to do that. It's hard to feel upbeat. Like every time something goes wrong, it's not like, oh yeah, that, I'm so excited about that. I can't wait to learn from that. You know, that's not always the case, but if for the most part, you can look back and figure out how to take something negative and turn it into a positive, I think that is super helpful.
Like you just mentioned, it's not that case like in the moment, right?
But like exactly,
when you
right.
can analyze it, like JJ mentioned and you mentioned, just sitting there learning from your mistakes, being able to analyze that and just it's the same process of the back brief when you hold an event or you do anything in your business. You need to actually look at how you can get better. Even if you fail, if it's a bust, it's like, yeah, we don't need to ever do that again. But it's that learning process and a learning curve that, again, that should excite you when you look back on it and say, yeah, I royally screwed that up. But moving forward, I know what not to do. And from now on, we can just be better as a team or better as an individual.
Yep, you got it. That's exactly it.
Yep, absolutely. So JJ, I feel like we could be talking to you for a while here. We'll definitely, you know, have to have you back on the show. This has been really fun. But as we wrap up this episode, if you could only leave our audience with one piece of advice for their entrepreneurial journey, what would that be?
I think it's that. I think it is understand that sometimes things are going to be hard. And if you go into it knowing that, I got this advice from my friend Courtney, who has this amazing company called Smarty Pants. It's very successful. It's a vitamin company. And she says it. She says it about work, relationships, everything. She says, just go into it knowing that sometimes it's going to be hard. And that way, when it's hard, you're not shocked by it, right? You're not blindsided, but you're prepared to say, okay, yeah, of course this was going to happen. Now here's the time. But can I also leave everyone with one ask? So there's my big ask is to please go on, download Good Pods. It's on the App Store. It's also on the Google Play Store. Follow you two on Good Pods so everyone can see not only your show, but everything else that you recommend that they listen to, and give it a shot. And also, I talk a lot about the feed loop. Give us feedback. Do not hold back. You can get in touch with us through the app. You can get in touch with us on email. There are all kinds of ways that you'll see there, but go try Good Pods.
That's awesome. Yeah, we'll definitely check it out. You know, it seems like, I mean, you've created this app, which is frictionless. Basically, it's so easy to get involved, and it's fun too, you know? So I'm excited. From what I've seen, I haven't downloaded it yet, but I'm very excited to do that. So yeah, we'll definitely check it out. And it's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Right after this episode. But well, guys, I think that's a wrap for this episode. But from the both of us, JJ, we want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to help us add value to what we're trying to do on our podcast.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on the program. It's really fun talking to you.
Yeah, it's been awesome, JJ. Thank you so much. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening to That Entrepreneur Life. To learn more about what JJ is working on, check out goodpods.com. And don't forget to download that app on iTunes and Android. If you like what you heard today, make sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or any other major podcast directory. You can also find us on all the socials and on our website at thatentrepreneurlife.com.
With that said, guys, we also want to quickly give a special shout out to our family and friends, to include all of our listeners, followers, and subscribers. If you find value in our show, please consider making a small donation. Even just a few dollars helps us keep things moving along and helps bring value to your entrepreneurial journey. Thanks for continuing to support what we do as entrepreneurs, guys. And don't forget to join us next week for another episode of That Entrepreneur Life.
Thanks for listening to That Entrepreneur Life podcast. Be sure to visit thatentrepreneurlife.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content. Don't forget to join us next week for another episode as we continue to add value. Until next time.